Milwaukee and Phoenix. Who do you suppose will support basketball in those two cities? Two of the most faraway places on God's green earth. I mean, isn't Milwaukee close to Sheboygan? Those were the words of legendary broadcaster Howard Cosell from way back in 1968 when the National Basketball Association expanded to include the Bucks and Suns. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent. And fast forward to today, and the Milwaukee Bucks and Phoenix Suns are now competing for an NBA title. Game 2 is tonight at 8, and we're getting ready for tip-off. You a longtime fan of the Bucks? Do you have a favorite memory from the franchise's history? And what are your boldest predictions about the NBA Finals? Join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Our guest is Rick Schabowski, who chronicled the team's 1971 title season in the book From Coin Toss to Championship. And Rick, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad I could. What's some unprecedented times. It was great being back in the finals again.
It's been a long time. I mean, last time we were there was 1974, Rick?
Yes, and I am proud to say that I was also attending games then. I went to all the championship games in 1971, the home games, and also in 74. I'm going Sunday.
Oh, wow. Not just into the Deer Park, but you're going to be at the Fiserv Arena.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, take us back to Tuesday night in Game 1 when the Bucks dropped the opening game away at Phoenix against the Suns, 118-105. But this is nothing new for the Bucks in these playoffs. It's the third consecutive time in these playoffs that the Bucks have lost the opening game of the series. So what was your takeaway from Tuesday night, Rick?
Well, I came away saying the same thing you did. Don't panic, Buck fans. This has happened before. We've come this far. We're doing good. I mean, yeah, would you like to win a game? Granted. But then again, look, we were on the road. We had just played. We were down. We were tied 2-2 in a series with Atlanta. And, boy, Giannis goes down and looks really tough. But how this team responded to win, you know, in Atlanta, win at home, and to win the series 4-2. And let's face it, they won this series on a Friday. Phoenix had already clinched their series. They're resting. They're staying home. And we're coming back home, flying back to Milwaukee on Saturday, and flying down to Phoenix again for a game Tuesday. It's physically demanding. So, and the main takeaway from this game on Tuesday is, yeah, we lost. But Giannis played.
Yes.
And he played a major role. I mean, maybe he looked a little rusty. That's no problem. But the bones, I'm sure you'd be tough. We'd be out there. We were out there with some knee problems. We wouldn't even be able to make. But the thing is that he played a decent game.
It was right before halftime, like a minute before halftime, when he chased down a fast break of the Phoenix Suns, and he seemed to cover the entire court before blocking the basketball against the back of the basket. And then, you know, you realize right there that Giannis is back. He's not hobbled. He is actually returned in a way that you didn't think he might make it back in these playoffs when you saw that injury. In fact, neither did Giannis, as he talked about his injury after the game on Tuesday night.
I haven't watched the clip, but when the play happened, I thought I'm going to be out for a year, you know. So I'm just happy that two games later, I'm back.
Yeah, so I take it that you're happy, too, that Giannis is back, Rick.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's a franchise player. He's a two-time MVP. But one thing about this Bucks team, and in difference to 71 and 74 even, we have an awesome bench. Well, and people are also not realizing, and it's not brought up a lot, is that we could have used Dante DiVincenzo, too. He's a chemistry man, a good player, and he's been out for his entire playoffs. And, you know, we're doing well. Despite all these things.
It does. I mean, when you look at the keys to the NBA Finals for this Milwaukee Bucks team, do you see it more as their superstar, Giannis Antetokounmpo, or do you see it more along his supporting cast of Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton, P.J. Tucker, Bobby Portis? What are the keys to the Milwaukee Bucks taking home the title this year, as you see it, Rick?
Well, the key, like Lombardi said, team, together everybody achieves more. And they really are moving or meshed. They're a team. There's somebody hot. We have that many good players on your team. Someone's going to be cold. Someone's going to be hot. So and we have a and like you said, the bench. I think Portis, all these people off the bench have Jeff Teague. The few minutes he plays has really been a contributor, and they're really showing that this is a team effort. And Phoenix pretty has a good bench too. Nothing against them, but yeah, it's not just Giannis because we've won games without him. I mean, we proved that in the playoffs. Like, against not chopped liver teams, playoff teams,
right.
And we came through without him. And I think everybody guts up a little, tightens that belt. And, you know, you can see on the sidelines the animation, how Giannis is a real cheerleader, too. He's not going to be, you know, he's still going to suit up. He's going to be out there cheering him on and go, hey, let's go. But like I said, don't worry, Bucks fans. It's a best of seven series. How many times, you know, if you lose one game on the road? And they showed some character coming back. He had here getting whipped by 20 points. And he cut the single digits in the fourth quarter. So they showed character there, too. Even though they were on a short side, they still were a good effort.
Game two is tonight, tip-off at 8, and we're discussing the 2021 NBA Finals with our guest, the author of From Coin Toss to Championship, Rick Schabowski, who chronicled the history-making 1970-71 season, but he's also going to the first home game of the NBA Finals for the Milwaukee Bucks on Sunday. Let's size up game two tonight if we can, Rick. Now, the one thing I noticed from game one was the Milwaukee Bucks defense for the Phoenix Suns Stars was we had our center on their point guard, Chris Paul. We had our center on their shooting guard, Devin Booker. What kind of changes do you see Coach Budenholzer making tonight in adjustments for game two?
Well, they're going to play a tighter defense. They're going to move around more. I think, well, he's been a good coach and coach of the year. He's going to make adjustments and see things, maybe zone, maybe isolate stuff, do things differently. And also for Phoenix, one of their backup centers also out, Saric injured his knee. So another thing, like even like the Bucks when they play, they were games they were red hot. You think Phoenix will hit all those shots? There's going to be adjustments made coming out, playing up, stepping up, and just hassling these people a little more on those jumpers, getting inside their head, making them work a little harder is all you need. All you could do is make up a couple points, a couple baskets, and adjustments will be made. And Coach knows what he's doing. They've adjusted to things before. You know, when you look at how they adjusted after losing Giannis and going on the road to Atlanta, geez. I mean, going playing Atlanta and winning there, and he's a good coach.
Well, that was an exciting moment for me to see the Bucks make it to the finals without their superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo. But you mentioned getting inside your head when referring to the Suns. But Rick Schabowski, what about getting inside Giannis's head when it comes to the free throw line? This has been a running theme throughout these playoffs that Giannis takes too long at the free throw line, and the NBA should call him out for exceeding the 10-second limit of standing at the free throw line. And the fans at all the away games in these playoffs have been happy to let Giannis know. What sort of impact has that had on his head?
Well, he's always, hate to say it, always been not a very good foul shooter. And the fans, I think he's shutting them off. They can count all they want to 11, 12 or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of rules that aren't enforced yet rigidly. Is it really that important? I'm sure there's other players too that, take more time at the line. And I'm sure the pitch clock and baseball and all these other things. I mean, what are you going to do, start being a policeman there or a stopwatch?
That's what the officiating's for, according to the opposing team's fans.
Yeah, I mean, but is that what it is? I think, maybe that 11 seconds hurts him in the end. Maybe he should try getting it off quicker. But I'm sure Coach is working with him on that. He's not the only guy. If you recall, Will Chamberlain was a bricklayer, amazing first class at the foul line, too. And he bricked a lot of shots.
So grateful for you for this half century perspective. But since you've been following, the Bucks and the NBA for so long, Rick, how much of this game is mental when it makes it to the court? Because when you're in the flow and you're on, and it seems like Giannis can just be in the flow when the game is happening. But when when it stops dead in its tracks for a free throw and he's got his enemies and his teammates alongside the free throw line and he's shooting them up, it seems like it can get inside your head when you're playing basketball.
That's a very good point because you're going 90 miles an hour on the freeway. You're playing good. You're playing fast break, playing defense, getting back, doing things. The game is so high tempo, more high tempo than the other sport probably. Because football, you got huddles, this and that, baseball. But basketball is continuous action. And here you are moving, constantly switching roles from offense to defense. And then all of a sudden, like you said, Lee, take a free throw. And it's kind of a break in emotion, break in momentum to do that. So because you kind of, so we had a bad day at the foul line on Tuesday. Today's a good day. And all we need is four games out of them. And we can do it. He can do it.
I mean, what was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar like out of UCLA? As he took the Bucks to the finals in just their first few years of existence, was there, can you make parallels to then and today, Rick?
Yeah, Kareem was a better foul shooter, obviously, and Oscar was a good foul shooter.
Oscar Robertson.
Yeah, and that's the key thing, like mentions in the book, and you mentioned earlier in your introduction. Yeah, it is Bucks and Phoenix. This is a rematch. We both came in the league the same year, the 1968-69 season. And we both had the worst records in our conferences in that first season. But the Bucks had won 27 games, and Phoenix had 16. There was no lottery then. They had a coin flip between our two arch rivals, Phoenix and Milwaukee. And because Phoenix had a worse record, they got to call the coin. So their fans voted and what to call, and they called it wrong. And so I remember Wes Pavlov, one of the Bucks' original owners, saying that, "I like it when the other guy has to call and make the mistake, and I don't have to."
What's your bold prediction?
We end up with Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but there we go with, Bucks and Phoenix again.
Absolutely. So, and here we are back more than 50 years later with the NBA Finals Game 2 tonight, tip-off at 8 o'clock in Phoenix. And what are your boldest predictions for this NBA championship title? 1-800-642-1234 is the number to join our conversation, make your predictions, or tell us about your favorite stories and your favorite Bucks memories with our guest Rick Schabowski, who chronicled the team's 1971 title season in the book From Coin Toss to Championship. I'm Lee Rayburn. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. So the fate of the Milwaukee Bucks started with a coin flip and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar way back in 1968. That's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and this team would win its first title since 1971. They haven't been back to the NBA championship games since 1974. And Kareem did not think the Bucks had a chance this season, saying he thought the statistics and the history were against this team. But, and I'm quoting him here, "The thing I love about sports is how often statistics and history get thrown out the window by the sheer heart and grit of an underdog team." Are you like Kareem, rooting for the underdog in these NBA finals? And where do you think Giannis Antetokounmpo ranks among Bucks greats? 1-800-642-1234 to join us. Email ideas at WPR.org. Rick Schabowski chronicled the team's 1971 season with his book From Coin Toss to Championship, with a half century plus of covering the NBA. Rick Schabowski, give us some perspective on where the association is today versus what you saw, what you experienced with the NBA when you first got involved.
Wow. Give me another hour. I can tell you how many things have changed. I mean, that the advent of the cable TV network really helped put the NBA on the map. Also, the rivalry that began in college between Larry Bird and Magic Johnson continued from Michigan State, Indiana State, continued in the NBA with the Lakers and the Celtics bumping horns often. I mean, when the Bucks played, they had a 7-game winning streak in that 70-71 season. They played the Knicks the day after Thanksgiving in Milwaukee at the arena here. And the games then were on. There was a game of the week. That's all they had. And part of the games were ABC's Wide World of Sports, and here's the NBA game. And that's all you got.
So you mixed in with skiing and high jumping and all the rest, you might get a basketball game in there. Is it true that that we don't have video footage for some of the 1971 Bucks NBA Finals games?
Oh, there's footage out there. There's stuff out there you can search.
Okay.
As far as the entire game, I probably doubt it, though that could be the case. And the thing was, like, even we made a big thing about this Pfizer Forum, which is really neat. What a great thing to do. But the Bucks, when they played the Knicks, their nemesis that 70-71 season, it was a complete sellout. What they did is the Bucks put the game on closed circuit TV at the auditorium next door. And that's how there was nothing on, you know, TV.
Right.
And so here we are at the Milwaukee Auditorium right next door watching the game on closed circuit. And it went well. And another thing I can say, I'll make a shameless plug. I think that Milwaukee fans are really in debt to Eddie Doucette. Did a really great job broadcasting these games, all these nicknames. And the Bucks promoted their team, too, with the Pepsi Fan Club and the Gold Bucks Gold Club. And they set a record for 27 wins as an expansion team. So this was just something that hasn't been paralleled again.
But, yeah, and, Rick, it would be hard to imagine an expansion team winning a championship in just 3 years like the Bucks did out of the gate.
It was so great that that's where I wrote a book about it.
Exactly. Our guest is Rick Schabowski. He is the author of From Coin Toss to Championship, and we're getting ready for Game 2 tonight with the Milwaukee Bucks and Phoenix Suns in the NBA Finals in their best-of-seven series. And what is your best and boldest prediction, Rick?
Well, I got to go with the Bucks. Come on. But realistically, I believe they can do it. I mean, they showed heart coming back. Now, if Giannis was out, they still have a chance. Obviously, the odds are increasing with him performing at the level he showed on Tuesday. But I think they can overcome everything. I think coach can make adjustments. And, hey, the players are going to play it all out. And coming back home, getting some home cooking in the Bucks with that tied series, hopefully, they'll be at home in front of their fans, avid home court, rabid fans, and things should really be good. And we can get back right in this thing. And, hey, we came this far. All we got to do is need to win four more games.
So you're not necessarily predicting a win tonight, but you would say that you expect the Milwaukee Bucks to take home the NBA title at the end of this season.
I think they're gonna pull an upset at Phoenix down the road. They're gonna preserve their home court.
There you go.
And then win one there. Who thought that we'd win? We are down 2-0 to the Brooklyn Nets.
Well, and I tell you, Rick, right at that point, I thought this is, and I think, you know, people started talking about Coach Budenholzer from the Milwaukee Bucks and what his future might be. And we started seeing this team described as a good regular season team, but a team that couldn't cut it in the playoffs. And maybe that wasn't unfair after the early exit from the playoffs last season from the NBA bubble and that weird, you know, sort of strange season. But this year, this team has proven that they are good through the regular season, and they may even be better through these playoffs.
They've been resilient. They've bounced back from a number of injuries and things and bad things. Playing a season under COVID alone was difficult, and there's been issues. But the thing is, people were finger wagging, pointing and stuff when they're down 2-0. Did you think, I doubted they'd win it too, to be honest, when you're down that much. But they showed resilience there. And like history repeats itself, I think the same thing can happen here with that being down or, you know, it's a best of seven series.
Right.
So that whistle wasn't blown at the end of that last game. You're in it.
And those players from the Bucks did not have their head down. They seemed cool, calm, and collected because they've lost the first game of the playoff series for the last three playoff series this year. So they've been here before. I want to take a moment for the fandom, though, Rick, because this has been fun for me to be a part of. It's been exciting and to see the people take to the in the same way that you took to the auditorium way back in the 70s. People are now taken to the Deer Park outside of Fiserv Forum by the thousands in order to celebrate this team. What have you seen in Milwaukee and these fans?
Well, the thing is that we're supposed to be the most terrible town in the United States, but boy, the fans have always been avid here. The Brewers winning. The Brewers lost the World Series in 1982, but yet still had a huge parade downtown. And I remember somebody saying, boy, I thought they lost. You know, we're not fair weather fans. You can't be in Wisconsin with the cold weather and the blizzards. But we're not fair weather fans here. We'll go out there. You might get rain or something. Yeah, you'll still have people out there. You know, the only thing bad about it probably would be everybody would be hoarse, won't be able to talk at work.
Gotta be careful, especially.
Their enthusiasm is so evident that to go out there and to do things like that, and they'll cheer. they'll never give up.
There were pundits on ESPN that were opining on Milwaukee, and it was clear that they had not been there or seen all that Milwaukee had to offer. And I took that personally because, you know, it's such a great city with such great people. And if you know what to look, where to look and where to go, and to shine a spotlight on Milwaukee in a way that we didn't have the opportunity for the DNC convention because of the coronavirus a couple years ago now, I think this is also big for this city and the people throughout the state, Rick. It's exciting to be able to cheer for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, absolutely. And don't forget our Brewers, too.
First place Milwaukee Brewers.
And they've dealt with issues, too, with injuries and stuff, all the stuff going on. Yeah. And I think that shows the resiliency of these teams currently playing, the Bucks and the Brewers, how they've worked hard to overcome adversity and produce great results on the playing field and on the basketball court.
They're not fair-weather teams, Rick. They can't afford to be with weather like this.
Like I said, yeah. We'll shovel to go to the Packers game. Snowblow.
Well, we'll get to the Packers next time, Rick. But for the time being, we've got game two with the Milwaukee Bucks and Phoenix Suns in Phoenix tonight with tip-off at 8 o'clock. The Bucks are down one game in these NBA best-of-seven finals. And our guest, Rick Schabowski's detailed it all, taking us back all the way to the origins of the Milwaukee Bucks in 1968, their title season in 1971, and the last time they made it to the finals in 1974. Rick Schabowski, always fun with you. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. I absolutely need to share with your listeners, and all I can say is three words: go Bucks, go.
I was going to go with Bucks in six, but we'll see where that takes us. Rick Schabowski, the author of From Coin Toss to Championship. Just ahead, we talk with a law professor who dissected a violent incident in Pittsburgh to find out how fear and racism complicate interactions with police and what reform works and what hurts. We look at reforms being considered around the country next. I'm Lee Rayburn. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.